In Proverbs chapter 21, we're reading from verse 6 through 12 this evening. I'm just going to take the title from verse 12 and title it, The Righteous Considereth. This is our third message in this chapter. Beginning in verse 6, he said, "The getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The way of a man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness." Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this evening again. We thank you for this privilege that we can to assemble together. We pray for your blessings again upon the reading of thy word. And Father, we pray as we come here tonight for thy help and thy understanding of thy word, that we might be faithful servants of thee. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We were in verses 2 through 5 last week. We titled that God Ponders the Heart. The week before, we were looking at the king's heart in verse 1. And again, we've just taken our title from verse 12. This evening, there's various subjects here, as you've seen as we've read. And some of these we'll just make comments on, give some verses, a few verses we'll turn to. Again, we see the Lord continue in repetition as we come through this. He said in verse 6, he said, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. And so getting money by lying is no better than robbery. And really, it's might as well pick a man's pocket as to lie to him. Both of these kind of go together. The latter part of verse 5 somewhat fits this as we closed last week. But also, and give you a few other verses in chapter 10. In chapter 10 in verse 2, it says, "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death." We find this, and I've just picked out a few. We've come through several verses like this in Proverbs. But chapter 13 and verse 11 fits our text. It said, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." Also in chapter 22 and in verse 8, and he says here, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." And then again in chapter 30 and in verse 8, we find here that the psalmist is saying, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." And he gives a reason in verse 9. But notice now as we read this again, he says here in verse 6, he said, "The getting of treasures by lying tongue is vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." This referred to as a vanity tossed to and fro. In other words, as chaff or the stubble in the wind, or smoke driven away by the wind. In other words, it's just going to diminish. It'll quickly vanish. It'll quickly go away. It is not durable. When wealth is gotten this way. And then the latter part of this, he says, of speaking of them that seek death. In other words, in reality, those seeking riches this away, again, with we're going to see the word robbery in verse 7, but those who seek treasures with lying tongues, really what they end up getting is they're seeking death and destruction as they go about this. And one verse I'll read to you, can turn there, chapter 8. In chapter 8, I'll read verse 36 and verse 37. He said here, let's see here, verse 35 and 36. Notice this, he said, "For whoso findeth me," speaking of wisdom, "findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord," verse 36, "but he that sinneth against me," that is, again, against the Lord, against his word, against wisdom, he said, "wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death." And that's the ideal here, as we see in chapter 21 and in verse 6, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. As they seek treasures the wrong way, they're ultimately in reality seeking death. And Ezekiel 18:31 speaks of the same thing. And this is true of Judas Iscariot with the 30 pieces of silver. And we see his end as we read in Matthew 27, verses 1 through 5. He got the silver and he carried it back and threw it down at the feet of those he got it from by his lies, his betrayal, by selling out the Lord Jesus Christ. He ended up in death. He took his own life in that case. So that's the thought here in this passage. Now notice in verse 7, again, he's speaking of the wicked. And he said, "The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment." In other words, they refuse that which is right. So he's speaking of the wicked, their violence, their oppression, and they shall be judged without mercy. And you can write down Isaiah 1 and verse 23. This was the case with Israel. And you can also write down Jeremiah 7, verse 11. And that's a really good verse to go here with verse 7. He says, verse 7, "The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment." In other words, we see because of their violence and their oppression, they shall be judged without mercy. That's the ideal here. In verse 8, he said, "The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right." We found out in verse 2 of this chapter, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart." In this verse that we're looking at now, when he speaks of the way of man here, he speaks of evil men and their evil ways. Verses 6, 7, and 8, all three are simply speaking of the wicked. And he's showing that his ways, the wicked, the evil man, that they are in opposition to the truths of God. So he says the way of man is froward. That word means crooked. It means perverse. For instance, in chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, he says, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse," that's the ideal of our word there, forward, "and he said, he is perverse in his ways, despises him." He that is perverse, rather, in his ways despises him. Verse 3, In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." So the ideal here of, in verse 8, of this word froward, is that it means crooked, that which is evil, that which is perverse, turning from the things of the Lord can be included within the definition here. In other words, not willing to yield or to comply unto the Lord. And then the next word that is used here is the word strange, and that means to be estranged in this text here, being estranged from God. In fact, as you read through the scriptures, sometimes the wicked men are actually called strangers. And I'll give you two verses on that. One is Psalms 54:3, and the other one is Ezekiel 44 and in verse 7. But notice the second clause here in this passage. He says, but as for the pure, he says his work is right. And this is something, again, we see the contrast over and over between the saved and lost, the wicked and the righteous. Just a few verses on those that are pure. Matthew 5, verse 8, the pure in heart, they shall see God. Chapter 15 of Proverbs, and in verse 26, says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. And as we read throughout the scriptures, we'll find the pure in heart that is given to us. And you can write down Acts 15:9, as Peter, the council, really the first council meeting at Jerusalem of the church, where they came together to discuss the Gentiles being saved. And Peter stands up and basically says that God has purified the hearts of the Gentiles as well as he did the Jews. But in Titus 1:15, speaks of the pure, and also in the book of, there's many places, but these are just a few. But in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So as we come back to our verse here again, chapter 21, and notice with me again in verse 8, he said, the way of a man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. Notice with me as we come to verse 9. In verse 9, it is better to dwell in a corner of an house of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. We find as we read through the Bible, we find that God speaks of good men and bad men, and God speaks of good women and bad women. And I'll give you, we're going to come to this two more times. We've already come to it once, a similar statements. But notice he says here, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And this is somewhat repeated again in verse 19. And he said in verse 19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Back up with me to chapter 19. This is the first time that we actually seen statements like this. Now, as we read through the book of Proverbs, we see the virtuous woman, and we also see the bad woman, as we see the good man and the bad man. But I'll give you the verses on chapter 12, speaks in verse 4 of a virtuous woman. I think we spent an entire sermon on that. In chapter 18 and in verse 22, we also find a prudent wife. And then again, we find the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. So we have both women as well as men described to us, the good and the bad, throughout the book of Proverbs. We find in chapter 7 a bad and stubborn woman, as well as we find throughout the book of Proverbs, bad and stubborn men. But notice as we come back here, and I'll read these, when we come to each one of these, I'll either give you the verses or read them again. But notice as we come to chapter 19, and I'll read two verses from this chapter. And you say, what is a brawling woman, as we read in our text? Well, it's just a woman of contention. And we know that in Genesis 2:18, that a woman is to be a helpmeet to a man and not a thorn in his flesh. And we know in 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, she is to practice a meek and quiet spirit. And I really believe men ought to do the same thing as well. And but in that particular passage is speaking to the sisters. And so our text here in Proverbs in chapter 21 is a picture of the misery of domestic dissension is what it is. And now notice here, and as we read in verse 13 and 14, he said, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping." In verse 14, "Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." So we have here, showing the woman that is contentious, and showing also the prudent woman or the prudent wife in the passage. But let's look at the two others quickly, and we'll see them again as we work our way through Proverbs. Notice in chapter 25, then we'll read this. These are all very similar, but they say a little bit, something a little bit different. It when you read all of these and put them together, in chapter from 19 to 21 to 25 and 27, it looks like you see the man in the house, and then next you see him on the rooftop, and then next you see him in the wilderness. In other words, he moves out of the house to the corner, to the rooftop, and then he goes into a solitary life in the wilderness. Notice with me as we come here, verse 24, "It is better to dwell." Do you see God's balance, by the way? Do you see, when we read through this, we've just talked about three verses dealing with wicked men. But we also seen the pure as well. And so as we read through the book of Proverbs, as we do all of Scripture, we see God bringing the balance between the good and the bad. Well, here in chapter 25, verse 24, it said, "It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house." One more time, chapter 27. In chapter 27, you'll notice with me as we come to verse 15. "A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." So we see here, let's go back to our text and read it once more. Chapter 21, verse 9. "A judge said one time to a man, said, 'Why haven't you spoken to your wife in the last 5 years?' And the husband, he said, 'I did not want to interrupt her.'" And that's the woman in the text. We love peace and quietness in our homes, do we not? Amen. And I'd rather be shot in the foot as to have contention in my home, wouldn't you? Amen. Notice in verse 19, he says, "It is," well, not 19, verse 9. When we come to verse 19, we'll just read over it and make reference to 9 and move on. But notice in verse 9, "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." Now again, a brawling woman is simply a woman of contention. And this is the opposite of a woman that is virtuous, prudent, good, kind, and has a fear for the Lord that we see in the same book, the book of Proverbs, and that we see in the Bible in general from beginning to end. All right, notice with me in verse 10. He says here in verse 10, he said, "The soul of the wicked desireth evil, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes." Again, we come back in general to a wicked man. And so it speaks here of the character and what his heart is set on. And you, if you want some verses, chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, and also chapter 12 and in verse 12. Now, in our text here in verse 10, "The soul of the wicked desireth evil." And that's a sad thing when you think about desireth evil. In other words, they enjoy this. But he goes on to say, and his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. He causes sorrow to his neighbor. And you can read in 2 Timothy 3:3, despisers of those that are good. And speaking of the last days, they're those that are despisers of those that are good. And Isaiah chapter 26 and in verse 10 also speaks of this. So this wicked man that desireth evil, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. In other words, his neighbor finds no mercy in the eyes of this individual. And his desire is so strong to do evil, he does not even spare his neighbors or his friends or anyone that is close to him. In other words, he does them all wrong. And we know of people that's like that in our society. And this is why we're told over and over that the two great commandments is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. That's the first commandment. And the second one is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is the story of the Good Samaritan, especially, it's in more verses than this, but in verse 31 through 35, we see the Good Samaritan with his neighbor. And, of course, the Lord was asked, who is my neighbor? Well, it can be somebody next door, but it can be anyone in need anywhere. And we're also told in Galatians 6 and verse 2 to bear one another's burdens. So in here in verse 10, the soul of the wicked desireth evil. This is what's in their heart. This is what they want to do, and this is what they do. It says, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Well, notice now in verse 11. Verse 11 and 12 somewhat go together. But he said in verse 11, he said, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now the word, turn back with me to chapter 19 just for a moment. I'm going to read one verse, chapter 19, and I'm going to read verse 25. Now, a scorner is a scoffer, a sinner who mocks God's word. The simple, in many cases in the Bible, is the naive, the one that is lacking wisdom and judgment. Now, the simple, according to chapter 1, can receive this, or they can reject it. But notice here, as we come to chapter 19, verse 25, speaking of the scorner and the simple, and I think I preached an entire message on this verse titled Scorner and the Simple. But he said this in verse 25, he says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Very similar to the verse that we're reading, coming back to chapter 21, very similar. And like I say, I think I preached an entire message on that. And so what we see here, as we come back to verse 11, and again, this verse 12 is similar, but in verse 11, he said, when the scorner is punished, when we see God deal with the wicked, or we see God deal with those that rebel against his word, we need to learn something from that. So the scorner, again, is the scoffer, scoffing at God's word. The simple here is the naive, someone who is lacking wisdom and knowledge. And he said, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. And you can write down chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. I'll give you one other verse, chapter 9, actually in verse 9. So it's good to take a lesson from others. In other words, when God deals with others in particular ways, it's good for us to learn something from that. He deals with us personally, but when he deals with others in particular ways, we need to learn and grow in the things of the Lord. And notice now, as we come to our last text, He says in verse 12, he said, "The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked." And he goes on to say, "But God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness." The righteous man wisely considereth. In other words, he makes note of this. He makes note of the righteous. He makes note of how that God deals with the righteous. And there's just a multitude of passages that tells us that God will destroy the wicked, and we're to learn something. As a matter of fact, you can turn loose of this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and notice here, 1 Corinthians 10. Taking notes tonight, Romans 2, verse 8 and 9. Psalms 37, verse 35 and 36. God will deal with the wicked. Sometimes we think that they get by with everything, but they ultimately do not. Psalms 73, really, I'm going to give you a few verses, but the whole chapter. I just sat down and read the whole chapter again this evening, and I really ought to read it tonight to you again. But it's a wonderful chapter, but Psalms 73, verses 17 through 20 in particular. And but notice here, we find that this is the story when the children of Israel came out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and the Lord was with them. The Lord took care of them with spiritual meat in verse 3. They were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and the sea in verse 2. And they did drink of that spiritual drink in verse 4. But notice with verse 5, and by the way, that spiritual rock was Christ in verse 4. But he said in verse 5, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And he says in verse 6, "Now these things were our examples." So we're to learn something from them. In verse 6, they lusted after evil things and God had to deal with them. Verse 7, there was idolatry and God dealt with them. And that's in Exodus 32. In verse 8, they committed fornication. And it says, "And fell in one day 23,000. But notice in verse 9, he speaks of those who tempted Christ. And then here's the verse I'm really after, verse 10, 11, and 12. "Keep in mind that God was not well pleased with many of them, and all of these are examples for us today." But in verse 10, he said, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now, all these things happened to them for ensamples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. He said in verse 12, "Wherefore let us that thinketh," let me back up, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." In verse 10 again, those that murmured against God, that's in Numbers 16, 41 through 50, and there was 14,700 that died just from murmuring, complaining, or bellyaching. And so we can learn from how that God deals with certain sins by reading this. And I do want to close in Psalm 73. We've turned to this many times in different sermons over the years. Psalm 73. And it begins with God's goodness to Israel, but we find in verse 3, he said, "I was envious," that is jealous, "at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And he goes on, he speaks of their pride in verse 6. He speaks of how that they just seem like that nothing ever happens to them. And he said in verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And how many have ever felt this way? How many have ever asked yourself, why is it that such and such, the wicked, those that are lost, those that don't care about God, why is it that they prosper? Why is it that they just seem to always get by with things, but the Lord chastens me and deals with me? And that's the psalmist here. But I want you to notice as we begin reading verse 16 here, and one of the passages to write down is Genesis 18, verse 25. God is judge of all the earth, and he will do that which is right for the righteous and for the unrighteous. They will be judged as well as righteous will be received into his presence. Now look at this. Verses 1 through 16, there's these questions. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. We've all probably had these emotions before. But then it begins in verse 17, and I challenge you to read the whole chapter in, you know, this week and all the way to the end. But in verse 17, you start off with the word until. Nobody says, all these things are too painful for me. I've been chastened. I've cleansed my heart. I've tried to do what is right. And it just doesn't seem that like things are going the way they should go with me. But he said, when I look at the prideful and the wicked, and they set their mouth in verse 9 against the heavens, but still yet they prosper and seem like nothing happens to them. But then he said this in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. In other words, he goes into the presence of God and hears God's word, and he said, okay, I know how this is going to turn out. And he said, surely, verse 18, thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. In other words, as in Noah's day. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They're utterly consumed with terrors. And as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. And again, as you keep reading, the writer says, so foolish was I in verse 22. I was as a beast, in other words, as far as understanding. And but again, he says in verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory, and continues to talk that away. So you see the burdened heart, and then you see when he comes into the presence of God and hears God's word and communes with God, he sees the beginning from the to the end. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we do thank you tonight again for this privilege you've given us to assemble together. We pray for the singing, we pray for the prayer requests and the prayers that will be lifted up here tonight. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.